May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is Luke's account of the evening of the first Easter day. Two of Jesus' disciples are traveling home from Jerusalem, having had all their hopes and prayers seemingly dashed by the death of Jesus. Now they're even more perplexed, as some of the women in their group have reported seeing Jesus alive. As they walk, they are joined by another traveler. He is, unbeknownst to them, Jesus in the flesh, and he proceeds to give them the world's greatest Bible study. We read in verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When we read the Old Testament, do we see Jesus? Jesus certainly did, and his disciples did as well. They came to recognize that Messiah that the Hebrew scriptures had been pointing to was Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had spent time with, learned from, obeyed, and whom they had watched die. When we read the Old Testament, do we see Jesus? I propose to you that it is likely that today's Psalm, Psalm 30, was part of this world's greatest Bible study. Do you remember the Where's Waldo books? I found out in the 9 o'clock service that I'm dating myself a little bit by that, apparently. But I remember the Where's Waldo books, even though the 4 and 5 year olds of today apparently don't. The books consist of a series of detailed illustrations depicting dozens or more people doing a variety of things at a given location. You, as the reader of the book, are challenged to find a character named Waldo hidden in the group. He's got a white and red shirt on and hat. If you've never tried to find Waldo before, it can be extremely difficult. The more you get used to the concept, though, the easier it gets to find him. The same holds true for discovering Jesus in the Old Testament. So as we seek to discover Jesus in the Old Testament, let's start with this morning's psalm, Psalm 30. Before we can ask where we see Jesus, though, we need to ask ourselves, where do we see David in Psalm 30? David, the king of Israel, wrote Psalm 30 hundreds of years before the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to earth as a man. In Psalm 30, David is praising God because God miraculously saved him from almost certain death. Then, in the second half of the psalm, David relives this experience. In verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 30, David relives his crisis. At one moment, he was on top of the world, and then in the next, he was at death's door. Then in verses 9 through 11, we hear David's cry. It's living human beings whom God needs to sing his praises. David's death does not serve God's purposes. And then in verses 12 and 13, we as readers experience David's celebration. He celebrates salvation from this death, and it results in joy without ceasing. He's been restored now in his body, and he anticipates resurrection later. So it's easy to see David in the psalm, and that makes sense since he was the one who wrote it. But it was more than just his experience that was being recounted. It's also Jesus' experience being prophesied. What was Jesus' crisis? What was Jesus' cry? And what was Jesus' celebration? Jesus' crisis was the betrayal of his friends, the physical agony of being crucified, the spiritual agony of taking the totality of our sins upon himself, and then death itself. And yet in the garden, as he anticipates these things coming, Jesus says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus' cry then is on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In the psalm, David asks, "What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?" Jesus' cry was answered because without the resurrection, Jesus could not have been our Savior. We would still be in our sin. Christ would not have triumphed over Satan and crushed the serpent's head. God would not have displayed his glory and wisdom to the power of the universe. God would have betrayed his own Son in his hour of need had it not been for the resurrection. God would not have saved his people for his name's sake. And the cross, instead of being a victory, would have been a loss. But praise be to God that God didn't leave Jesus in his cry, but raised him from the dead, resulting in Jesus' celebration. Jesus fulfills David's prophecy, but it doesn't end there. Those of us who are in Christ have experienced for ourselves the reality of Psalm 30. We, like David and Jesus, have a crisis, a cry, and a celebration. First, our crisis. David writes in verse 3, "You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead." We are dead. Now, you might look at yourself and at the person sitting next to you and think, "Well, I'm not dead yet." But yes, we are either still or once were dead in our sins. The Apostle Paul uses the analogy of death in his letter to the Ephesians, and he writes, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." We, like David, were helpless in our condition. Death had swallowed us up. Our cry then is David's cry. If death is final, then evil wins. There is no victory. There are none that can glorify God. So we cry out for our salvation. And then as we receive it, we celebrate. When David writes, "You brought me up," in verse 3, the word he uses for brought up refers to a bucket in a well of water. We were like a bucket in a well, caught in the dark depths of sin, powerless to lift ourselves, but God reached down and lifted us up, resurrecting us. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians puts it this way, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved." Death was not the end for Jesus, and death is not the end for anyone who belongs to him. There is joy in the morning. The light of God's presence welcomes us on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. We have not been raised bodily with Christ yet, but by faith, joy is ours today. Our hearts can fly with the hope of the resurrection. Amen.